What's up, world? It's Mike Esser back with another episode of Addiction Zombie. This here session 11 is on building your survival network post-apocalypse. The idea here in all of this session is identifying the who's that we need to have around us, why we need to have them around us. At the same time, that why that we need to have them around us is going to touch into a couple other areas, and is going to give us an actual tool that we can use to improve the way we think about ourselves and our situation as we continue to strive towards survival and then eventually thriving. More than just surviving, thriving. And so this means we're going to dip into a great tool, positive self-talk, which other people may call daily affirmations. An affirmation is something positive that you say to yourself, something that you remind yourself about, something that you set yourself towards by saying it. So this session here, again, we're going to be looking at support systems. We're going to be looking at positive good feelings. We're talking about, you know, what are those good things we need to be saying to ourselves to counter that ugly voice in our head that pops up sometimes trying to make us doubt, trying to make us, you know, go back on the goals that we've put in place for ourselves, you know, makes us feel less than worthy or capable of doing certain things. And so we want to be able to squash that whole ugliness that leads us to relapse. And I think having people in your life that cover all the bases allows you to get out of your own head and into a connected environment with somebody, or conversation with somebody that allows you to overcome those feelings, thoughts, voices. And that's kind of why the idea of affirmations is here, positive self-talk is here, because not only do we need to be able to do that, you know, by pulling on our outside resources, which is going to be like our permanent network, but it's also going to be kind of like training wheels on our way to strengthening ourselves to where we internalize this. And that's where these affirmations come from, to where we can soothe ourselves, we can problem solve for ourselves, initially, like triage. We can take care of ourselves and better ourselves for the moment, which can be a permanent fix, you know. But the idea that we then take that and share that with our network allows, again, Jahari Window. We talked about a couple sessions ago, the idea that I reveal something about myself, and then I get feedback about something that I'm revealing, and that grows my open area, and it's in that growth that I grow. And the more that open side of me is grown, the more connected I am to the people around me, to the world around me, to things around me. And it's also in that I just become happier, more productive. You know, that transparency is really something that is freeing. And so the idea here is that we continue that on with what we're doing. And this focus on this session being that we put the right bodies in place, or we cover our bases, is really just going to give us the best resources, the best tools. If it was post-apocalyptic world, you're going to want somebody who knows security and knows hunting and gathering, who knows how to grow plants, or knows medicine, knows how to repair things. You know, you're going to want the engineers. You're going to want all those kind of people. You're going to want the counselors. You're going to want those kind of people who can help you through not only the physical times, but the emotional times. And you're not just going to survive with an engineer. You're not just going to survive with a hunter. You're going to survive and thrive when you have that community in place. It's really mimicking what we live in today. We go into any city and town, and there's people doing all of these different things, and that's what makes the town work, because those resources and services are available as needed, you know. And so we kind of want to mimic that in our own lives. And all of this, I think, is relevant and becomes something we actually will do when we decide that our lives have meaning. You know, we're doing these things because our lives have meaning. We're putting these people in place because our lives have meaning. We're saying these things to ourselves, and, you know, not saying these other things to ourselves, because our life is meaningful. And so what does it mean to have a meaningful life? I think one of the best ways you can support a healthy lifestyle, a healthy pro-social place where you're actually making change, is by having activities and interests that provide meaning to your life. It's important to be involved in things that you enjoy and that make you feel needed, you know. And when you're doing these things, there's other people who feel the same way as you, that are going to be connections. And so there's more than just the basic connection when it comes to needing a sponsor or a therapist, you know, in place. There is a whole wider range of people we're going to get to in a second. But the idea here is that it is very much so important to be involved in things that you enjoy, because that's what you're going to focus on when you are thinking about your addiction. That's what you're going to focus on doing more of, to where you ain't got time to think about your addiction. And when your life is filled with these rewarding activities and a sense of purpose, your addiction or that unhealthy activity tends to lose its appeal. You know, it's like that scale that's being tilted one way or the other. And the more you put on the new scale, the more investment into the things that go into that new scale, the heavier it's going to be, the more it's going to outweigh the old scale, the shallow life of this thing that, you know, existed and we thought was the center of the universe, to come to find out that it was all just an illusion. And so the idea here that we continue to build up all these good positive things in our life, eating, sleeping, exercise, and learning, loving, and appreciating, you know, our hobbies are things we love and appreciate. They're things we learn. You know, it's feeding a lot of that stuff there, you know, and the idea that you invest those things into yourself is evidence that your mind and body need that, you know, your soul's being fulfilled, and that, you know, by investing into something, it means it's not junk to you. You know, if you don't invest in something, you don't care about it. But if you invest in something when you eat right and sleep right and exercise right, and you feed knowledge, and you show appreciation for those around you, you're proving to your body and your mind that those things mean something to you. And when they mean something to you, your self-esteem gets a little boost. Your purpose and your drive gets a little boost. You become better focused on what you're doing moving forward. And it's in those healthy connections of those happy hobbies and activities that you do, those passion projects and whatnot, you know, that you will begin to attract and surround yourself with people that are like-minded, who make you feel good, make you feel needed, and, you know, who then can support you on that peer level, you know. So find your passion, get involved in the community. Get involved in the community of that thing. If you want to be a race car driver, get involved with that community. If you want to be a astronaut, get involved with that community. If you want to survive the zombie apocalypse or any type of apocalypse that may present itself, get involved with that community. There's nothing wrong with being prepared, you know, and if it gives you some purpose to survive, you're going to then know, rest assured, your ego and your self-esteem are going to say, you know what, I am physically fit, I am emotionally fit, and I have the knowledge to survive my car running out of gas in the middle of nowhere. I am going to be able to survive if my plane went down and I come out of the wreckage. You know, the idea that, you know, if the power goes out for weeks at the time, you know, some hurricane hits or something hits, I'm going to be able to survive because I've put in place the skills and knowledge to do that. If that's what you love and that's what you're going to do, then do it. You know, I'm a comic book nerd. I'm a pop culture geek. I very much so, obviously, addiction zombie, you know, the idea that I want to kind of twist and tie these things in with something that, you know, maybe on the outside is a branding idea, but, you know, metaphorical connections and things like that are just rarely where my passion allows me to stay connected in a different way than just, you know, work. You know, why would I record these cheesy little podcasts on my phone and upload them every week if I didn't want them to be somewhere because I didn't have some passion for this? I haven't seen a lot of success. And I'm in a little small town doing this at a little small office. I want to have more people hear these things and see these things. And I want it to be here years from now. And so that's the mission with all this. That's my passion. One of them, and it's good to have multiple passions, you know, your health, your family, your job, your hobbies, you know, so set meaningful goals, put systems in place to accomplish them, meaning, you know, not just set these goals that are hard to accomplish, you know, it's good to set a high goal. You know, there's a poster out there, I don't know if it's still around, I'm sure it is, that, you know, if you shoot for the stars, you know, at least you'll hit the clouds or something. And I'm quoting it all kinds of wrong. You guys probably know what I'm talking about. But I don't think it's great that you shoot for something that you miss. The idea of a goal is to set something you can accomplish. So why set something so high that you may never get it? And if you don't get it, then it's about the downside. I'm all about being able to achieve the craziest, biggest dreams imaginable. Winning in a Academy Award or Nobel Peace Prize or solving some great issue or becoming somebody who's in this big office or whatever, you know, raising that beautiful family to have a bunch of good, healthy, happy kids that are just this great family unit, you know, whatever those goals are, you know, the idea of accomplishing them isn't about this lofty thing that you have to go all in for. That's part of it. Yes, you do need to go all in. You need to be passionate. You need to be obsessed with your goals. But I think setting incremental goals while knowing the ultimate big picture, you know, it's not just one goal. So it is good to set a higher goal, you know, an end of the road goal. But you don't want to just achieve something and then have nowhere else to go. I think the idea of setting a goal for a day, a week, a month, a year, you know, several years is good because you can reach those goals and then look towards the next goal, and it keeps you moving and it keeps you assessing to where the goals may change. And if the goals change, that's good because you're growing. You don't know where you're going to be or opportunities going to present themselves, you know, and you then get that ability as an adult to assess the situation, you know, and then make the best choice for yourself. Nobody needs to be making that for you. And so for you to be able to set these goals and to be able to accomplish them, I see it more like steps versus leaps. And there may be times where you skip a step here and there because something great happens or a great opportunity happens, or you switch staircases altogether. But I think if I were to set a goal of needing a job and being able to have an outfit, being able to be clean and presentable, being able to have all my ID, being able to put in the resume, create a resume, then put the resume into places to search those things and submit those things, to have the skill set learned of doing an interview, having the skill set of being able to, you know, get the job and show up day one, and to have the skill set and determination to do your best and to take in what you need and to spend extra time learning what you need to learn to do your job to be the best, and then in the job to decide that you're going to know everything about your job and you're going to know everything about the job above you. And then you decide, now that I've known enough about the job above me, I'm going to apply for a promotion, or I'm going to work towards a promotion, and so on and so forth, and to the next promotion, or to your own company, or to whatever it is that you decide to do. It's in those incremental things that we actually will accomplish these goals. Plus, you get that feel good of crossing that finish line. You get to feel good about crossing that finish line again and again and again as you accomplish these things. Creating a checklist is a beautiful thing, because you do get that satisfaction, a little bit of that dopamine, a little bit of that reward when you cross something off the list. So having a list every day, being able to cross stuff off it every day, means you get that little jolt of success every day, and it becomes something that you then can build momentum. You can build evidence in your day, in your life, that you're moving in the right direction. So goals are constantly being accomplished. And you may reach that big goal of getting hired. Cool. Now what? Well, now you got to do the job. Now you got to get better at the job. Now you got to think about maybe advancing in the job. So on and so forth. And it's in that constant growth that's what we do as humans. That tip of the hierarchy of needs is that self actualization, that growth, that exploration of what we can do and where we're going. And so for us to be able to find this meaning in our life, to really have it be something that is substantial, we need to be able to put these things in our place, or in place, so that we are able to pull again and again on these things as we continue. Because every day we're a different, you know, a little bit different. Every day we've got another opportunity. Every day we need to be, you know, in a place to where we can actually, you know, capitalize on all of these things that are being presented to us. And this is where your self-assessing is good, but at the same time, having a network around you to bounce ideas off of, people that you trust, and lots of people in different areas that you can trust, because, you know, different people are going to have different points of view. And just like when you do a search on Google, the idea that you look for all these answers, don't take the first website, the first answer. You need to search this. You need to search it a couple of different ways. And you need to come to a consensus on what you feel about it. You know, see who agrees and what the sources are. And then from that, you come to what your conclusion. Same thing with your life. Same thing with having this network in place. You're going to want to bounce these ideas off these people. You're going to share these things. Get relief and advice about these things, feedback on these things, so that you can make your best decision and then move forward. And a lot of times you're going to find out what you initially thought before you shared it with everybody is what you go with anyway. You know, but you may just get confirmation from enough people that you really do feel good and confident, which will then produce evidence in your life that you are pretty smart and that you can do what you need to do to get things done, and that your gut instinct is something you should probably trust more. You know, and so having these goals be in place, having these things be reachable, having so many of them that are heading you in a good direction that you constantly are feeling good about it, and you're constantly resetting goals, and you're constantly, you know, assessing the situation for what's next, instead of pigeonholing yourself into just the straight path that you think is what you should be doing when you've never lived that thing and don't know for sure where you need to be going when it comes to your addiction, your recovery, your goal setting, your meaning in life. But I promise you, you get that new meaning in life, that new hobby, that new pet, that new thing in your life, and you will find meaning, that child, you know, that significant other. You know, you're going to find some meaning, you know, and it's not just in one of these things, but it may start that way, a little goal that you accomplish. And then it's going to probably bleed into more of these things. It's going to reach into more of these things that just really allow you to have multiple layers in your foundation of what the meaning of life is, you know. And if you're not looking at your health, eating, sleeping, exercising, you know, these things are important because they keep your energy level up, your stress level down. And the more you stay healthy and feel good, the easier it is going to be to stay on track with all these other things that you're doing. And if you start to neglect those things, understand that that's one of those things that are very easy to see, either through the network of people that you're dealing with who are going to mention these things to you. And that's why you need a network of them, because some people won't mention it to you out of fear of, you know, disappointing you or making you feel subconscious or making you feel bad or whatever. But when you have this entire network of people around you, you constantly are reaching out to the entire network, you're going to be able to get some honest feedback, at least from somewhere in your network. You're going to get some good information somewhere in your network that you might not get from other parts of your network, and so on, back and forth. You know, somebody may be more intimately involved with you that will give you advice that somebody on the outside of that area of your life wouldn't have access to or knowledge of. So the advice they give you is going to be strictly based on what they know about you and the relationship you guys have. And so it's kind of the filling out of this area of your life with diversity is truly the key. And the idea that you keep these things on track because there's some meaning to your life is really the root of it. It's the root of all of these things we've been talking about over the last several weeks and we're going to talk about over the next couple of weeks. But the idea here is that we need to surround ourselves with a healthy support system, because it then supports our meaning of life. It supports our passion. It supports our recovery. It supports just so many different areas, and it really is that connection. It is that connection, or one of those connections, back to our healthy self. You know, the idea that there was some disconnect that happened, that we then put a Band-Aid on with our addiction. Now that we're removing the addiction and the Band-Aid, we need to be able to fix that wound. And, you know, we need not only ourselves to have self-care for that wound, but we need to have good, you know, support around us to help take care of that wound as well. You know, certain specialists, you know, to be able to come in and take care of different areas or elements of those wounds that we've got, that substances and situations have given us temporary relief for. And so the support system is something now that we do regularly, a regular assessment with, so that we are able to continue to build and grow. Some people may be in our group today and may not be there tomorrow. And so, you know, not putting all our eggs in one basket, as cliche as that is going to be an important thing. And that's kind of why there's diversity here, so that as we're living life and we're doing these things, we can, you know, pull on all of these different areas and all of these different people. And we will learn as we're moving forward with all of this that, you know, certain people are better at helping us solve certain problems, and so at this point, really, who are those people? What positions do we need to have in our network? Well, so what's a healthy support network? Basically, a healthy support network consists of a balanced mix of the following. We want to have mentors and role models in our life, those that show by example our desired behaviors, you know, somebody who's already doing what we want to do. You know, we don't need to necessarily recreate the wheel. We may, but right now, we want to be able to find people who are doing what we want to do. If that's recovering from some addiction, we want somebody who's recovered from our addiction to be our role model. We also, while putting a role model for that, want to have role models that fulfill our other areas. You know, who's a role model for the way I want to eat and the way I want to exercise and the way I want to learn? And who's a good role model for appreciation and love? You know, who's a good role model for, you know, all of these areas of my life, my career role model, my passion role model? Who are these people there that I may or may not physically know, but I can pick up their book, or I can Google them, I can search them out, I can whatever. And they, again, but then there also is going to be people that we do meet and we do touch. Maybe it's a sponsor, or maybe it's somebody who is, you know, further along in life than we are. Again, it's those people that are going to show us by example the things we want to do, our desired behavior. They're already doing it. In addition to that, we want to have healthy peers. Whether that's new or existing healthy individuals, we want to kind of weed those out and have just healthy peers in place. People on our level, it doesn't have to be on our level with our addiction. It can be on our level with our career, on our level with family, on our level with our community, on our level with our age, with our sex, you know, gender, whatever, all of that that's going on. We find peers in those things we see in ourselves. And we surround ourselves with those good people, healthy people. You know, we don't want to surround ourselves with people who are active in the addiction. We need to get strong ourselves to where we can be the mentor. We can be the role model, that can, you know, live a good life. And then those people who have may been in our life this time, all this time, can see how we got out and got recovered, and then they may want to recover and ask questions. And so really, we don't want to, at this point, to surround ourselves with those unhealthy people, unhealthy places and things like that. We want to look for, weeding out our existing support network to be only the best, while seeking out other peers on our level, that we can start to interact and engage with. And like I said, it's going to go beyond just the addiction. It's going to go career. It's going to go lifestyle. It's going to go all kinds of different ways, or all kinds of different people that may fulfill these different areas of being a peer to us. The third is support a family member. We need those positive family members that support you. Now, you may have a huge family, you may have no family, but there has to be some people around you that have been supporting you. You could have, you know, it could be grandma, it could be mom, dad, it could be brother, sister, it could be anybody, cousins, you know, it could be a neighbor that you call uncle, it could be, you know, somebody on the street, your street brother who you call brother. You know, if they're healthy and they are in your inner circle and you consider them family and they've been there for more than a minute and haven't really been somebody that, you know, contributed, but somebody who instead has been trying to help you get better when you didn't even realize for yourself that you needed to get better, but has stood by you and had your best interests at heart, you know, we want those people around us. And anybody who is not supportive right now, we need to kind of minimize our time with anybody who wasn't supportive, if not eliminate those relationships. But, you know, it's not easy to eliminate all relationships, especially family member relationships. So you may just minimize them for now until you get your head on right, and then revisit those things with a new healthy outlook. So we got mentors or role models that are leading by example. We got healthy peers, new or existing healthy individuals in our lives, friends, things like that. We've got supportive family members, you know, positive family members who support you. And then we have skilled help. Skilled help is the fourth area. And it's that skilled help where maybe that somebody who's trained, not maybe that is, that somebody who's trained, excuse me, like a counselor, a pastor, maybe somebody like your probation officer, honestly, and maybe somebody, a case manager, you know, and so there's skilled help. It could be a manager, not for your addiction side of things, but if it's talking about your growth in your career or growth in your hobby, you know, those people that are have degrees in those things, who are in positions that you would like to be in, while that's kind of like a role model, more or less it's somebody who can help you about your particular thing. They're very skilled or educated in that particular thing. A role model could be self-taught. Mentors could be self-taught. Mentors could have just had their own struggles and got to a place to where they've gotten out of their own growth. Well, skilled help are people who went to school for this. People who have who do this for a living. And so that skilled help, meaning you need to get a therapist, get a counselor, get a pastor, get somebody in place, whatever your equivalent is to that, get somebody who is skilled and educated, you know, maybe with a certificate or something like that. Not to mean that those people are always the ones who know best. A lot of people out there in the world have real world experiences that trump a lot of that mess. And not mess, I'm kidding. I've got certificates and degrees and stuff. So the idea that it took time and effort for me to get there, and they then rest, allow people to be assured that, you know, I'm not just willy-nilly with what I speak about, but that I am actually trying to bring my knowledge that I've collected and collaborated to you, and that I'm here for you on a professional, and this is also maybe in a disconnected kind of a way, where it's, there's not a dual relationship. It's not that we're friends and, you know, have a therapeutic relationship. It's just a therapeutic relationship. You have your healthy peers for your friendships. You have your family members for your close connections. You have your role models and mentors who are leading you in a good direction. Your skilled help is meant to be there as just that, as a piece to the puzzle, because your role models, again, are going to give you advice that, that leads you in a good direction. Your peers are going to give you good support on where you're at now, your day-to-day living. Your family members are going to really support you as a whole, but as somebody on who's got to, it's more of a deeper connection. And then the skilled help is going to be there to pretty much give you no BS. You know, some good supportive family members are going to do that too. But to really kind of give you some help in coming to your own best conclusion about what it is that you're thinking about. So who's in your support network? Who is it? Who is your role model? Who's your mentor? Who are your healthy peers? You know, who's that supportive family member or family members that you've got? And what skilled help do you have in place? Okay. That's questions you need to answer today. At least get the list started. Because with them in place, you're going to have a better shot at accomplishing and staying on track with the meaning of life. Your meaning and all the different things that means, you're going to be able to stay on track. And so to stay on track, we need to have those positive self-affirmations in place. We need to have that positive self-talk in place. And so we move on to affirmations. These are positive specific statements that help you to overcome self-sabotage, you know, negative thoughts. You know, this is a skill. This is like the fifth member of your support team, you. This is the things you will say to give yourself advice. I think one of the coolest things we can do is when we're struggling with somebody, we need to take that struggle that we are so intimately close to and have all those details about, and we need to be able to pretend that's somebody else. That's our best friend. We don't have those problems. Our best friend has those problems. what would you tell your best friend? How would you help your best friend who had those problems? And take the advice. Take your own advice. And so the idea here that positive self-affirmations are some positive things we can say to ourselves while we're on the journey of correcting things. Self-affirmations help us visualize and believe in what we're affirming to ourselves, what we're saying to ourselves. You know, they help you to make positive changes in your life and your career. You know, I think I can, I think I can. You did. Sometimes self-affirmations are not going to work. Sometimes they're going to work miracles. When an affirmation doesn't work, I got some things for you. For your affirmation to work, it has to be realistic. You know, if it's not working, check if it's unrealistic. You know, if you say, by tomorrow, I'm going to rule the world, your mind's going to reject that. Your conscious mind's going to reject it, going, no, you're not. So it's not real. But if you say, hey, by tomorrow, I will have walked a mile, you can believe it. Or by tomorrow, I will have gone to work and did the best job I could. And I'm going to come home and I'm going to be the best I could be for my kids. I'm going to cook them a nice dinner and I'm going to clean up the house. And I do those things because I am a good father and I am a good person. And so you believe that. And you go to work, you do the best you do the best job you can. Good day, come home and do those things as well. Good day. You wake up next day and you did what you said you were going to do. You accomplished what you affirmed to yourself that you were going to do. Another reason why you might reject your affirmation is it wasn't specific enough. You know, so your conscious mind rejects it. You know, it's not that I'm going to, you know, make $1 million in my life. Well, no, that's actually pretty specific. It's not that I'm going to be rich in my life. I want to be rich. You're going to be rich, Mike. No. My mind's going to like, what does that mean? What is rich? You know, are you talking dollars? Are you talking what? And so if I am talking dollars, I'm going to need to say specifically, I want to make $1 million. I'm going to make $1 million. And maybe that's too much at first. If it don't work, it's because it was unrealistic to you in this moment. You just don't see yet how that's possible. But you may be able to be somebody who's making $25,000 a year and you can say, you know what, I want to make $30,000 or I want to make $50,000. And you start to put in place those realistic things that make sense. And that it was very specific, 50,000, that's the goal you're working towards, that your mind can see that. Your mind can work towards that. And so there's a reality where you can see yourself in it. And that's really where your affirmation is to be. You need to be somebody who's realistically setting those incremental goals that you say to yourself you're going to accomplish it, and your mind won't reject it. And you be very specific about it. I'm not going to make a bunch of money. I'm going to make $50,000 a year. And then when I make it, I set the goal for 100. I set the goal for $500,000. I set the goal for $1 million, whatever. The third thing that happens when our affirmations aren't working, we're saying all these good things to ourselves. We believe them. They're very realistic and that they could happen, is that we don't take enough action. You know, there's no magic pill or easy way out. We definitely need to be realistic about our goal. Our affirmation, we need to believe it. And then we also need to be very specific so that we know exactly what we're working towards. But then we need to take action. I can't go, I'm going to drop 100 pounds in 6 months and I'm going to run a mile in 6 minutes. So the idea here is that I've got some very specific goals, but if I just sit on the couch for 6 months, I'm not losing the weight in my time frame, and I'm not going to run that 6 minute mile. So the reality is that I need to take action. So you got to be able to move forward in some way towards these things. And the last reason why these things don't work is that you're not consistent. You may be like, when I was a kid, I used to see the Rocky movies, and I'd wake up early the next day and go for a run out in the cold and come back home and drink an egg and choke it down, because that's not easy to do. And maybe the next day I did some half-ass exercise, and then the third day I'm back to normal. I wasn't consistent enough, and so I didn't reap the rewards of the benefit of that consistency. And so in over time, that I stopped believing that that was something possible. But I would go through these spurts where I would get inspired and it would feel like it was possible, but I wouldn't stay consistent in those things. And this is one of those things that it's over time that we improve. We need to have something in place, a good plan, and a good specific plan, a good specific goal, a good specific thing that we're saying to ourselves that's realistic, that is something that we really want. And I know that if I am going to wake up at 7 o'clock every morning and I'm going to go to the gym to run 30 minutes on the treadmill, until I build up the stamina to, run that mile in that 6 minutes, and I'm going to come home and eat this specific balanced diet throughout the day in a nice, specific window of time that's, I have these specifics in place, that now it becomes very realistic. And it becomes something that I can stay consistent with. I've got an app that tracks my food. I got an app that tracks my exercise. And it's in that list that I'm creating that it allows me to have a mechanism in place that lets me stay consistent, that lets me take enough action. And it's in all of those things that I then believe it. And I'm being very specific. And so it's in those things that we counter when those affirmations don't work. It's also important when it comes to saying these things about ourselves that we pick a tense. What does that mean? Like before, during, or after? So I am going to do something. Those kind of affirmations are cool, but they also statements that can be rejected if they're not believed. I am going to be the president of the United States. It's cool, but I can easily reject it, especially if I'm not in politics or not even wanting to be in politics. So my mind doesn't really believe it. I will be, those kind of affirmations are better alternatives because they promote a future goal. Meaning, I will be somebody who is interested in politics, or I will be a president someday, and that just means I'm setting a goal towards it, and then my lifestyles and skills and passion and drive is going to get me to a place to where I start to put in place the pieces that need to be in place so that I can and will be what I say I'm going to be. But better than all of that, I think, is I have the knowledge. I have the strength to be the president, which would mean that I know politics. I know what goes into it. I've probably held office before, and I'm somebody who I have the knowledge to do the job. I have the strength to do the job. Those are the best one because they promote yourself. They promote what you do and what you are and what you already know. They promote what you've got. And so you are already believing in yourself right now. And so, the idea that I am going to do that is cool. I will be doing that. It's a little more strong, but I have the knowledge to do that. I have the strength to do that is best. Now, implementing these affirmations, you could say them all day, every day. You could recite them before bed when you wake up, those are usually the best times that I've heard it called primed. You're primed to take these things in. You know, right when you wake up, that little cloudiness from waking up, you say your affirmations, those things you're working towards in that period, and your brain puts it in a pretty cool place. Right before you go to sleep, you say those things, it's a pretty good place that your brain will put those things into. And with consistency, realistic goals, specific goals, you know, a plan in place so that you stay, you know, good with your, you know, your active pursuit of those things, all really allows us to, you know, accomplish them. And so before bed, right when you wake up is good. A good thing to do would be to write your affirmations down, carry them with you, whether in an app on your phone or an actual notebook, you know. You also want to be able to post these things on, you know, little notes throughout your house so that as you're walking around, you're being reminded of those things. It gives your mind a little push towards staying on the right path with your goal, with your affirmation, with the thing you need to be feeling good about, the thing you need to be feeling passionate about, the meaning of life to you. And so, you know, writing these things, reading these things, speaking these things, you know, they all activate additional senses. And the more senses we use to interact with something, the better it is for us, the stronger the connection it is to those things. And if we have a strong connection to those things, it's going to be something that we are connected to, which means there's a better shot that we're going to put in the effort, the work, and see the evidence of those things being in our lives to the point that we actually will accomplish them. Just really quick, I got a couple of affirmations in the book, the workbook that goes along with the program. The one that you can get from addictionzombie.wordpress.com is got a link there for the Amazon page where you can get Addiction Zombie, the Undead Addiction Workbook, the companion to this blog that's got all of this podcast. There's a blog there as well. But that gives you all of these things in place. But there are some affirmations in here. And if I were you, there's a digital version of the book and there's also a print version. I like the printed because I can hold it. I can write on it. But then again, our mobile devices allow us to kind of interact with things now too. So, you know, whatever. But I would definitely recommend you getting it because it will go along great with this podcast. And it's all in order, you know, just like these podcast sessions are. There's a couple of review sessions in between that we aren't doing on this, but they're there, and good exercises to go through. But when it comes to affirmations, I wanted to give you some examples. You know, if you were to tell yourself something like, I can achieve greatness, that's a good thing to say every morning. You know, by telling this to yourself and believing that you can achieve greatness, it will eventually turn into reality. You know, I love and accept myself for who I am. Self-love is meant to be the purest and highest form of love. When you love yourself, you automatically start appreciating and respecting yourself. If you have the confidence and pride in what you do, you will begin to see yourself in a new light. And you will be encouraged and inspired to do bigger and better things. I love and accept myself for who I am. That is a big one. I can achieve greatness, it's cool, but I love and accept myself for who I am is huge. You know, the idea that you say something like, today I abandon my old habits and I take up new ones, more positive ones. That's something that is pretty powerful too. You know, you realize that any difficult time is only going to be a period of time in your life. This will pass, along with your old habits, you know, and this means replacing them with new ones, healthier ones. And so reminding yourself that today you're going to abandon your old habits and you're going to take up some new ones, you're going to take up some new, more positive ones, is going to allow you to connect the dots between this is all temporary and connect the dots with something that's going to let you move forward. I also like the one, I am the architect of my life. I will build its foundation and choose its content. You know, you are the architect. What you say and what you do is what's going to be and go into what you have. And if I'm the architect of my life, that title is a pretty specific, admired title. And knowing that I build my own foundation and I choose the content that's going to sit on it is huge. This is something that you should tell yourself when you wake up every morning. You know, you can make anything of the day when you think that way, because you are the architect of your life. You are somebody who is going to be able to achieve greatness. And if you're somebody who loves and accepts themselves for who they are, then as you evolve, you're going to continue to love yourself more. And that's the key. And I would really recommend you getting out there and searching self-affirmations, and coming up with a couple of them that really would work for you. And whatever one really, really resonates with you and you see yourself getting fired up about, make it your mantra. Make it your thing that you constantly say to yourself to snap back to reality, to snap back to, you know, the healthy place that you want to be. So Google self-affirmations. Same time, you should be Googling hobbies and looking for hobbies that make sense to you. How do you find your passions? You know, you Google them hobbies. Find a bunch of them that you like. Do a few of them. And when you're done with them and you love them, you keep them. And if you don't love them, you move past them, knowing that you gave it a shot. And that's a cool thing. All right, we're about to wrap up. So I want you to seriously think about who you have around you, who you're going to put in place around you, what's the meaning of life for you, and what are some positive things you can say to yourself to keep yourself on track. What was the best thing that happened to you the past week? What's the biggest struggle you had this past week? What's the most important thing you should be doing this upcoming week? Let's pat ourselves on the back for something good that happened this week. Let's brag about it to the world so we can have those warm and fuzzies. What's the biggest struggle, though? What are we going to do about that? What's the plan? What do you want to do about it? What are you doing about it? And is that enough to fix that thing? If it is, sweet. If not, what's the plan? What's something you need to be doing? What's the biggest thing on your map for the upcoming week? Let's get it done. How you eating, sleeping, exercising? If you're not getting up and moving around, do a little yoga, a little DDP yoga. You know, get out to the gym and lift a little bit of weight. Get out in the world and get a little walking in, a little running in. Get yourself some good protein. Eat a salad. You know, eat some good fat, some good nuts, things like that. Drink plenty of water. You know, what's something you learned this past week? Whatever you learned, share it with somebody. Let them learn it too. We learn so much and retain so much when we become the teacher. So if you want to learn something, plan to teach it to somebody. You'll put all that knowledge in a new place and you'll put a little more effort into retaining the detail if you prepare to teach what you want to learn. Who's somebody in your life you want to show some appreciation to? And how are you going to show them appreciation this week? Starting today, you got 7 days, time's ticking, how are you going to show them? Easiest way is just to tell them, you know, but beyond that, you can show them, you know, maybe there's something they need done, maybe something they need help with. Do it. How would you rate this past week, 1 to 10? And was it better than the week before? Yes, no, maybe so. Now, all these questions, rank them 1 to 10. Was this the best thing ever? Was this the biggest struggle you ever had? How important is it for you to get that thing done this week? 1 to 10, how was your eating? 1 to 10, how was your sleeping? 1 to 10, how was your exercising? 1 to 10, how cool or how important was that thing that you learned this week? 1 to 10, how important is it you show that appreciation this week? 1 to 10, what was your overall week's rating? Now, ask yourself, why did I rate it where I did? What made this thing less than a 10? And ask yourself, what would it take to make it a 10? With the negative or the struggle thing, you know, if it was a 10, you know, what's going to take to make it a 1? Because it's back where 10 being it's the worst thing ever, 1 being it's not that bad. The other ones kind of work like a normal scale on the positive. But whatever the answer to these questions are, that's us identifying something we need or want to work on and what we need to do to fix it. And so let's do that. All right. It's Big Mike Esser. I'm out. Hey, you made it this far. Right on. Well, thanks for listening. I want to give you some ways of reaching out and engaging with me beyond the podcast itself. Even though it originated from anchor.fm/addictionzombie, you may have got it through Spotify or Google or a few other places that it's also uploaded to. I want you to be able to reach out to me on Instagram, which is addictionzombie. And you can get me my blog, but also links to the workbook that goes along with this podcast, which is called Addiction Zombie, the Undead Addiction Workbook. And that is available on Amazon, but through the WordPress website, you can get the link directly to it. At the same time, my blog has got all kinds of other zombie-related news and fun stuff there as well. I do have a trilogy that I wrote called Undead Weapons that you'll notice on this channel also has its own podcasts that are being uploaded as I do them in episode format. And that is me reading the books themselves in little 2-3 chapter segments. It's all there. It's all me. It's your big bro, Mike. Hope you're well. Be good. I'm out.